Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv. Subject Ahkam 1. Book Islamic Law. Teacher Sheikh Muhammad Baqir Nijad. Lesson number 1.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin. Wa la'natullahi ala a'da'ihim ajma'in. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuki alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'ah wa fi kulli sa'ah waliyan wa hafiza wa qa'idan wa nasira wa dalilan wa 'ina hatta tuskinahu ardaka taw'a wa tumatti'ahu fiha tawila bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. My dear friends, brothers and sisters, welcome to the first class of Ahkam or Islamic laws. In this class, inshallah, we are going to talk about the importance of Islamic laws and what is Islamic laws all about? What is fiqh or ahkam or Islamic laws, and what do these words mean? See, in general, in Islam, we divide our ma'arif as Islamic or divine ideologies. We divide them into two. We say that they are either aqa'id usuluddin or they are furu'uddin. What are usuluddin? Usuluddin are the things that deal with our belief system. They're the things that we have to believe in it with our heart. Right? For example, tawheed. Oneness of Allah Ta'ala. We should all believe with our heart that there is no God but Allah. So this is part of usuluddin. Why? Because that's something that you have to believe with your heart. Secondly, we have, for example, in usuluddin, the second part of usuluddin, we call it the nubuwwah, or prophethood. We believe in 124,000 prophets, and the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Third, imamah, the leadership, that after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, 12 imams came in order to guide people. And then the concept of day of judgment and justice of Allah Ta'ala. These things are the things that we call them usuluddin. Why are they called usuluddin? Again, because they are the things that we believe with our heart. If they go in our heart, then we believe them. Now, the second part of our religion is called furu'uddin. Now, usuluddin basically means the column of the religion. Because usuluddin or aqa'id is the base of our religion. If someone does not believe in Allah, he would not come forward in order to follow the rules of Allah Ta'ala. Because furu'uddin, they deal with our actions. Basically, we put our beliefs into action. We believe in Allah. We believe that He has wisdom. We believe that He is all knowledgeable. He's all powerful. And He has rules for us, and put that into action. And we follow His rules and His commands. Right? So, usuluddin is the base of our religion. Right? That's why you study as a hawzawi student, you study usuluddin. We study aqaid al-imamiyya and other books of aqaid that you will study, inshallah. And after that, or along with that, we study fiqh. Now, as I said, usuluddin. So if you believe in our aqa'id, which we call them the usuluddin, you should also have amal al-salih, good deeds, which is basically following the rules of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, a lot of people ask, why should we study Islamic laws anyways? Why should we study ahkam or fiqh? See, when it comes to Christianity, for example, they emphasize so much on that you have to believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, everything will be fine with you. Jesus will come and save you. You just have to love Jesus. Love Jesus and everything will be fine. Right? He will save you and He will take you to heavens. And, you know, there's not much that you need to do. In today's Christianity, of course, you know, the original religion of Allah that Prophet Jesus brought, of course, Just like any other, you know, divine religion, it had both parts of iman or aqa'id and also amal al-salih, good deeds. But throughout time, Christianity has changed a lot, especially in the past centuries. And now, what they say is that just be good, just, you know, believe in Jesus, you know, love Jesus, and, you know, you don't have to do much. However, Islam is not only about believing in Allah, prophets, and imams, and all that, but it's also about putting that aqa'id into action. So, if you want to know truly why do we practice, you know, these furu'uddin or these actions as a Muslim, this question, if you want to answer this question, it goes back to our concept of tawheed. If we truly understand the concept of tawheed, we also understand that why we need to follow the Islamic rulings. We need to practice, why we should practice them. Why? Because when we say that, you know, there is no God but Allah Ta'ala, or we believe in tawheed, what does it mean? What does it mean that we believe in tawheed? It means that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one who has created us. As Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والله الذي خلقكم ثم رزقكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one who has created you and then gives you sustenance and takes your life and then brings you back to life. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one who has created us. He is our Khaliq, He is our Creator. Right? Now, our Creator, you know, just think about it. Allah has created us and He has sent us to this world. For what purpose? Just for fun? Just like, you know, so that we wake up in the morning, go to work, you know, get money at the end of the month and have a good life, you know, and on weekends we go have fun, na'udhu billah, in clubs or, you know, things like that. Is that the purpose of our life? So that we have money that we can eat and have a good house? If you think about it, you know, the animals do the same. Right? They run everywhere during the day in order to something to eat, to find something to eat, and to find a good shelter for themselves. So, if that's only the reason why we are created, we are pretty much like animals. We would be pretty much like animals. However, that's not true, of course. Allah Ta'ala has created us for a much more important purpose. What is that? You see in Quran, Allah says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you really think that Allah Ta'ala created you, we created you in vain, just for fun? It's a rhetorical question. Is that a real question? Because everyone knows the answer. What's the answer? Of course not. Of course Allah Ta'ala did not create us just to have fun in this world. He created us for a purpose. Now, so Allah Ta'ala created us for a purpose. And what is that purpose? It is, as Quran, you know, mentions it, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The purpose of our life, the goal of our life is what? Allah says, we have only created jinns and men so that they may worship me. He has created us and He has set up a goal for us. Now, when you have a goal, you need a plan, right? In order to reach that goal. For example, let's say that you're graduating from high school, this is your senior year, and you want to go to such and such university, right? Now, if you want to reach that goal, you need to have a plan. You need to work hard, you need to study, let's say, 3-4 hours a day, and basically, you know, put up a plan for yourself. And follow that plan in order that you reach your goal. And finally, you know, inshallah, you go to that university, right? So every plan, every goal, every, you know, goal in our life needs a plan, needs a program, needs a schedule for us in order to follow so that we can reach that goal. In another ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Why? Why? Ya Allah, you know, sometimes we think about the creation, how, you know, huge is this universe and everything. Why did Allah create it? You know, everything. The Quran says in this ayah, Allah says in this ayah, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. If you want to know the purpose of our life, if you want to know the purpose of this creation, Allah says, it is that we test you and see which one has good deeds. Which one has good deeds. It doesn't mean that Allah Ta'ala does not know. He does not know which one of us has better deeds. God, of course, knows, you know, the end. God knows everything. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. But He wants to test us and, you know, to put us into that, into this situation, in this life, so that we can decide by our free will to choose the right path and do good deeds. And of course, Allah Ta'ala knows who chooses the good deeds and who does not, doesn't do that. So, let's summarize what we said until now. So we said that Allah Ta'ala has created us. He has set up a goal for us. What is that goal? In order that we get closer to Allah. We, you know, get close to Allah Ta'ala. What is the path that we need to take? What is the plan or the program that He has sent us in order for to reach that goal? The plan is basically mentioned through the ahkam. So the ahkam that we have, Allah told us to pray 2 rak'ah in morning, 4 rak'ah noon time, right? For noon prayer, 4 rak'ah asr prayer, 3 rak'ah maghrib prayer. You have to fast in the month of Ramadan. You have to go Hajj in a certain time. You have to pay, you know, a specific portion of your wealth as khums or as zakah. Right? These things that Allah Ta'ala has told us, they are for our own good. How do they benefit us? They basically, we use these orders and laws and plan, or we can call it this plan, this whole plan, in order to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. So the ahkam that we are learning, the fiqh or Islamic laws that we are learning, what are they? They are the rules and or the laws that we need to follow in order to reach our goal in life, which is getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. And, you know, if you think about it, everyone in this world, whether, you know, the people, the person is an atheist or Christian or Jew, whatever religion he or she may have, everyone believes that we need laws, we need order, we need to do something and we need to refrain from some other things. Right? Certain things must be obligatory on men and some other things must be prohibited. That's why in every country, they have a constitution. What is a constitution? It's the law of the land. Right? It basically says what should be done and what should not be done. And then they have Congress. Right? What does Congress do? The Congress basically comes and interpret this constitution in a way that would be in accordance to the time and the place and everything. And sometimes they would add some laws, they would edit some laws, and, you know, so forth and so on. I'm sure you've studied that in your government class. So, everyone believes we need laws. No one in the world comes and says, oh, we don't need any laws, we gotta be free, just like animals, do whatever you want. Of course, that's not gonna work. That's not gonna work in this world. you know, we do need laws and rule and order, and we need to do something and refrain from some other things. But the question is this. The question is this. Who would be the best person or the best one to set up these rules? Humans themselves, who do not have an entire knowledge or understanding of their benefits and the things that would harm them. We don't know that, right? Or the one who has created us. The one who has created us, he knows the best. He knows what are the things that there are really in our favor and what are the things that they really harm us. And they hurt us. They hurt our soul. They hurt our body. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the one. He has created me. Right? He has created me. He knows everything about my essence, my nature. What am I good at? How can I reach my goal? What are the things that would refrain me from reaching my goal? Right? So He has created me. He has set up goal for me in this life. And He has also given me, you know, a procedure or laws or things that we need to do or the things that we need to refrain from in order to reach our goal, inshallah. So that's why we basically come and study Islamic laws. Islamic laws is about the things that Allah Ta'ala wants us to do in this life in order to get closer to Him. And that's why the Islamic laws, they cover a lot of different issues. It's not only about acts of worship. It's not only about praying or fasting. It also is also about the social matters, economic matters, things that do with, you know, have to do with politics and you know, things like that. So because Islam, as Quran says, al-hukmu lillah, the only entity, the only one who has the right to rule is Allah Ta'ala. He is the one who has the right to rule. He has the one to make the right to the, who is the, he's the only one who has the right to make the laws and imply them in the society. Some of the ahkam, some of the laws, they have to do with our society, right? How should be a government? How, you know, a government should run? How it should work? We should refer to our religion and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to figure that out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only He has set up the rules for a government to work, but He has also sent who? The one who has the right and is basically fit for the position of being the governor or the ruler, or being the ruler of the universe, of the whole world, who we believe is the Imam of our time. In each time, the Imam that exists, he is the one who has the responsibility of carrying out the laws of Allah Ta'ala. He's the one who knows the ahkam, he knows Islamic laws and rulings, and he is the one who has the right and he has the responsibility basically from Allah Ta'ala to carry out those laws and impose them and imply them in the society. Okay, so as we said, you know, Islamic laws are in two different parts, ibadat and mu'amilat. So one part of our Islamic laws, they have to do with our acts of worship. The other type of our ahkam, they have to do with our mu'amilat basically, or tradings basically. So as we said, Islam has Islamic laws or rulings have two parts, ibadat and mu'amilat. Ibadat, they have to do with our act of worship, and mu'amilat is, you know, the trading part. Now, after explaining this and the importance of fiqh, we need to talk about its importance in our house that we studies. In how do we study fiqh in house? Now, as a student of house, you need to know what to expect basically. What's the process? How many books are you about to learn in house in regards to fiqh? Because fiqh and usul, they are the main subjects of house. Unfortunately, aqad is not emphasized as much in the traditional house, which is, in Qom and Najaf. However, inshallah, in our house system, we will emphasize it, and we'll have classes on aqad. But, generally speaking, fiqh and usul are the main two subjects of hawza. And whatever you basically study in the first 2-3 years of hawza, they are basically the prerequisites of fiqh and usul. For example, you study Arabic literature. What's the purpose of studying Arabic literature? Because the sources of our fiqh, they are in Arabic. The books of our scholars, they are in Arabic. Right? So you need to know this language fully. And it's very important that you work on your Arabic language and you truly try to understand it. And as it is explained in Sarf and Nahf class, the purpose of studying Sarf and Nahf in Hausa is not that you would be able to speak the language, just to speak, Arabic. The purpose of studying Sarf and Nahf is that you would be able to understand Quran. You would be able to understand our narrations and the books of our scholars in regards to fiqh wa aqad. So, for example, so we say that you study Arabic literature or Sarf and Nahf, and they are the prerequisites of fiqh and usul. Also, you study mantiq or logic. That is also another prerequisite of fiqh and usul. So, basically, whatever you study in these 2-3 years in the beginning of hawza is because you need them when you get into higher levels of fiqh. Now, how do we study fiqh in hawza? In the first year of hawza, we start studying fiqh by, reading the Risala Amaliyah, or the Islamic, every marja, every grand ayatollah has a book called Islamic Laws, or Ar-Risalat Al-Amaliyah, Tawdih Al-Masail, or in other words. That book basically says that, it just mentions the cases, what you need to do, what you should not do, these things, right? They don't go deep into the reasoning part of the ahkam. So that would be the first year of ahkam, and the purpose of studying, the Risalat al-Amaliyah or Islamic laws in general in the first year is that you would be familiar with the ahkam, right? You know what to do, what not to do, what are the cases that are mentioned in fiqh. You get a general view in regards to the ahkam. And then you start getting more in-depth, going more in-depth with ahkam. You study Shara'i' al-Islam. And then you study al-Lum'ah. In the book of Lum'ah, you study some parts of the reasoning, some of the reasonings behind each hukm. Not the full reasonings. The book of al-Lum'ah, you study some of the reasonings behind the ahkam or the fatwas of our scholars. It just mentions some of the, for example, ayahs or the narrations that are used in order to drive that fatwa. But in higher levels of fiqh, which will be makasib in hawza, makasib of Shaykh al-Ansari, when you reach that level, inshallah, you will study fiqh more in depth. Basically, you are given all of the the reasonings behind each fatwa. What are all the ayahs and the narrations that are regard that prove us this hukm, this Islamic ruling? What do the scholars say about this Islamic ruling? Is it something that we can depend on? Is this hadith authentic or not? Does this ayah mean such and such, or does it mean this or that? So we're gonna have a very complete argument about each fatwa, and that would be the maqasib level. So basically, every year when you study fiqh, you go more in depth with ahkam. You study ahkam more in depth in regards to knowing the reasonings behind or the sources of our ahkam or our Islamic fatwas. Okay. Now that we have come to this point, the next thing that we will talk about, inshallah, we ran out of time, but inshallah, in next class, we will talk about where our ahkam come from. What's the source of our ahkam? And basically, a very brief history of fiqh, basically. Where did our fiqh start? And how did it start? And how is it as of today? And then we will, start going in depth with the first chapter of Islamic laws, which is ijtihad and taqlid. I ask Allah Ta'ala to hasten the appearance of Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, and I hope that by the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, we would be all blessed with following the true religion of Islam, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.